Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to today's special meeting of the Transit Commission, 4th November 2020, and this will be agenda number 18. Mr. Clerk, our new clerk, Eric, if I could ask you to do roll call, please, we'll get started.
Commissioner Brockington.
I'm here.
Commissioner Caricato.
Present.
Commissioner Gower.
Here.
Commissioner Kavanaugh.
Present.
Commissioner McKenney.
Present.
Commissioner Olson. Commissioner Suds.
Here.
Commissioner Tierney.
Present.
Commissioner Williams. Commissioner Wright Gilbert.
Present.
Vice Chair Cloutier. Chair Hubley.
Present.
You have quorum, Chair.
Thank you very much, Eric. So I'll just quickly outline the format for this meeting. As you all may know, this is the meeting at which the Transit Commission's portion of the budget will be received, tabled, and referred for consideration by the Commission at its meeting of Wednesday, November 18th this year. Today, we will be receiving a high-level overview of the transit services budget from the General Manager of the Transportation Services Department, Mr. John Manconi. He will also be providing an overview of the revisions to the boundary of the urban transit area for 2021. So we are only tabling the budget and urban transit area report today. We will not be receiving public delegations for these items at today's meeting. We will also not be considering any motions on these items at today's meeting. The opportunity for both submissions and motions will be at the meeting of Wednesday, November 18th. Members are asked to ask any questions they wish of staff, but reminded that we should limit our questions to high-level technical questions to do with the budget, as opportunities to examine the budget in detail will be provided again on the 18th. So to start the meeting, is there any declaration of interest by any member? Okay, seeing none, we will now receive the presentation of the 2021 transit budget from Mr. Manconi. Go ahead, Mr. Manconi, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, members of Transit Commission. Mr. Chair, the budget, the draft budget that we're tabling today, I can honestly say is probably the most challenging budget in my 30-year municipal career. And the reason for that is twofold. There are many, many variables to the environment that we're in. And secondly, there's things that we simply don't know about the pandemic. So we have to take a different approach to the budget that's before you today. The budget that is here that we're going to present and walk you through is an innovative way to dealing with all those variables and the unknowns. And it's based on four key principles. The team, and I want to thank the finance team and the OC Transpo team, have worked on this for many, many weeks. And I've just got some opening comments before I go to the deck. So if we could just hold the deck, please. The four principles that we applied is first and foremost, it is financially responsible. There's been a lot of questions about ridership and how do we manage costs and so forth. And I'm going to be walking through that in detail with you today. So it's financially responsible. The equity inclusion lens has been applied throughout it because you're going to hear how impacts to service disproportionately affect those that need it the most. And I'm going to be speaking to you about that. Thirdly, it aligns with council's priorities and your directions. And lastly, in terms of a key principle, it continues to be a key contributor to the recovery strategy in terms of where we need to get to. Mr. Chair, the overarching theme is ensuring that nobody is stranded. With this draft budget, we ensure that council has room to maneuver and adjust and to change the dynamic environment associated with COVID and the pandemic that is impacting us all. We're going to ensure that those that need our service the most are not negatively impacted by deep service cuts. And lastly, we're going to ensure that we take the long view and not make any decisions that can leave you or our customers stranded in the future and boxed in. So we're taking the long view on everything that we're proposing. One thing, Mr. Chair and members of Transit Commission, that's been made crystal clear during the pandemic is the vital role that public transit plays in the daily lives of everyone in our community. During the pandemic, it's been there for everyone that needed it and continues to need it to get to their places of employment or wherever they need to get to as part of their daily lives and as part of the long-term recovery strategy. You're going to hear shortly that the balanced budget that we're proposing does not contemplate service cuts at this time. I'm going to explain to you how we propose to deliver you a balanced budget that doesn't leave you or our customers stranded. Introducing service cuts that's going to impact those that need it the most is not what we're recommending. They depend on it for their day-to-day lives, their livelihood, and their well-being. Those that are on low income, those that don't have access to a private car, a vehicle, or can't afford other modes of transportation, and will hamper your mitigation strategy and recovery strategy, both in dealing with COVID now, from social distancing to getting people around, and the longer view in terms of recovering. And service cuts will not only just affect those people that need it the most, but it's going to affect business owners whose staff depend on the service and customers who need to get to their places of business. And the types of cuts needed to address the scope and scale of the numbers that I'm going to be sharing with you would be deep cuts that once they're instituted, recovering them and reinstituting them is a lengthy, expensive process. So Mr. Chair, let me walk you through. I'm going to start on the deck now. I'm going to go to slide number 2. I want to start off with the key inputs, the building blocks of how we put together the strategy that's before you with all those principles. The first is that the 2021, your draft budget is based on ridership at the same level as the 2020 budget. That's 99.4 million rides. I will come back to that towards the end of the presentation to explain how that all squares up and why we're not recommending an adjustment to the ridership forecast at this time. We're also recommending a fare increase of 2.5%, which is consistent with your transit affordability plan for 2021. And as you've heard the mayor and the treasurer speak, we are taking the mayor's direction and freezing community pass for ODCSB recipients and the Equipass fares for people with low incomes at 2019 levels. That's an investment of $185,000. Given the ridership volumes and the financial challenges we're in, I think we can all agree that at this time, it wouldn't be financially prudent to expand service on all modes. So we're not proposing any expansion to our services like we've done typically in the past. Next slide, please. So let's talk about the inputs into the budget in terms of from a monetary perspective. The first bullet on slide 3 gives you the money that's coming into us, which is the transit levy, about $9.5 million. There's the offset of the cancellation of the provincial gas tax, another $5 million. And then there's some assessment growth. So the new money coming in is about $19 million. And that's an important number to present to you. And I'll have a summary slide in a moment on that. We're assuming a fare increase. As you recall, in 2020, you had the fare increase that you froze and you gave us clear direction. Don't reconstitute that fare increase until the LRT system is stable and consistently reliable. And as you heard at the last Transit Commission, we've just started that work. So we're not in that position to say, lift the freeze and implement it. Next slide, please. So what we're proposing is, and just on the solution side of that, before I get to that, a reminder that the fare freeze for the year is part of the RTG claim. So we've put that into our legal claims towards RTG. But in the meantime, we have to recover those $5 million, and because it's a base pressure. And if you don't, that compounds into hundreds and millions of dollars down the road, and it makes your transit affordability initiatives, not just LRT, that's electric buses, that's new service, that's bus shelters, everything, makes that transit affordability transit affordability plan problematic. So it's a compounding effect. So our proposal is that we fund that from reserves with a reminder that we are going to try to recollect that back from RTG, and that the 2021 fare increase would take effect January 1st, except for those that are frozen on low-income NODSB recipients. The discretionary spending freeze will continue in 2021 at OC Transpo. It's part of the corporate freeze, and we're continuing to watch all of the bottom lines. Next slide, please. So the challenge we had in developing this budget for you is we only have $19 million coming in. And when we looked at our pressures to sustain where we are, it's about $50 million. So while that slide says base budget adjustments, let me be crystal clear. Those are cuts. And what I want to articulate for you is we need to find $30 million so that we gave you a balanced budget. And the next slide, I'm going to walk through how we found and the proposals that we're recommending be the solutions to that $30 million delta. The first is, you recall you added 40 buses, extra buses, when we were challenged with all the bus service with the LRT breaking down on a very frequent basis. We're recommending, because of the lower volume, we postpone that. You don't do that right now. You can do that a future years if that demand comes back. That generates about $8 million in savings. We have some staffing requests we need in the safety unit. Rather than impact the operating budget, we will just bridge finance them for now through capital. We've looked at our WSIB claims. We think we can manage that a little bit tighter and see if we can offset that by $3.5 million. We believe the volume is different than what it was when there was concerns about layoffs and so forth. So we believe we can head that in the right direction. Our customer service improvement program will continue, and we're hearing great feedback on our Twitter feeds, on our response to counselors and so forth. It's just with the lower volume, we'll just slow down how we ramp that up. And in terms of continuing with it, we also have the capital budget projects that we're continuing with on tools and resources for that group. That will continue. So we're not proposing to cut down on the para, online booking, or any of those very important initiatives. There's a reduction to a contribution to reserves, and I want to thank finance team for identifying that. The next one is $3 million. That's a reduction volume. That hurts no one. None of these actually affect any customers and don't affect you in terms of, again, giving you being stranded politically or from a financial perspective, or our customers being stranded and having an impact to the direct service. So with reduced volume, there's reduced Presto fees and card purchases. Those are costs that we have to pay to Metrolinx. Volume is down. That generates $3 million in savings. There's a reduced provincial gas tax debt servicing of $2 million, 2.4. And then there's the urban transit area boundary report that the chair spoke about. That's a cleanup exercise that we do periodically that looks at properties that are within the urban boundary that should be paying the tax, transit tax levy. Some, most of them are development held and so forth. So that you'll see that in the report that's upcoming. And then the last four are our great staff at OC Transpo taking this very seriously. And we're looking for every nickel and dime because, again, we don't want to cut service and hurt our customers and challenge yourselves. So our fleet maintenance group has looked at volume and servicing. Licensing, that generates about $2.8 million. IT contracts, again, volume-based, fine-tuning, looking at FTEs. Did we really need to pursue them this year? Could we put them off and manage them through consultants and so forth? So that list there, without cutting service, generates $30 million. Next slide, please. So now I want to talk about COVID costs and impacts. And we're in a dynamic world. And, you know, Wendy and the city manager have been very bright about this in terms of look at COVID costs and don't naturally assume they're there forever because things could change with vaccine and so forth. It is very, very expensive to clean our buses, facilities, and trains. And by clean, they're cleaning everything. So it's about $13 million in 2021, which we're assuming will, and all indications are, will be funded through the Safe Restart Program. And we thank our partners for that. So now we've got to talk about ridership. And when we needed to start thinking about the budget, in August, I put together a task team. And I wanted us to start to think about where ridership could end up in 2021. I can tell you that every single week I get from UITP exactly where ridership is around the world for major transit agencies, and the curves all look the same. And they go up and they go down depending on what COVID impacts are and so forth. There is nobody out there that can tell you where ridership will be in 2021. There's too many variables. So what we did, and I want to thank Pat, his team, Steve Willis, Stats Canada, we took your ridership. We know the segmentation of our ridership, and we know the types of use of our ridership. We cross-referenced that with places of employment, destinations, and we put a percentage of potential recovery through that. Is it perfect? No. But it's better than what I've been hearing some people are doing. They're just guessing. We didn't want to guess. We wanted to bring some science to this. And we have put together five scenarios. We started with the worst case scenario, that ridership is only at 40% in 2021. We're at 30 right now. And we incrementally move up. So the second scenario is 65%. The third scenario is 70%. The fourth is 80%, and the fifth is 85%. And what that gives you is, what is the range of a potential ridership drop translated into dollars? On the worst case scenario, you're short $125 million next year. On the 85% ridership return, you're at $31 million. So we are proposing we stay conservative, don't go to the best case scenario, go somewhere towards the middle at about $50 to $60 million in reduced ridership revenue. That's a big hole to fill. Next slide, please. So we don't have a lot of challenges, we just have big challenges, and they're complicated challenges. The first one is, you'll recall, you approved the strategy during our negotiations to deal with the federally imposed 30-minute break rule, that we chose to go through collective agreement to settle that, and that was the best course of path because, A, we guide our own destiny, and B, we can manage our costs rather than it just being imposed. And so that matter has been put to bed, and we're in full compliance with that. There's a $6 million tab associated with that. And that's to... when the 30-minute break occurs, you can just imagine it's out in the middle of service. You need to swap out drivers and so forth. The funding is there. It's part of your budget. We're not adding the FTEs at this point. We're going to go with a temporary FTE arrangement. And the reason for that is we need to, again, not box ourselves in that we don't have the levers to push and pull and make adjustments if things go a certain way, one way or the other. Whether things bounce back, whether things go worse. So we don't want to build up the organization to have to tear it down. So we will have the operators. We don't use temporary employees in the language of the collective agreement. We're not entitled to that. They will be full-time, but they're not full-time FTEs. So council, I just want you to know we're not increasing our FTE count at this point. We want to see where everything shakes out. The second piece is, as you heard this morning, we know that where we're going to end up to March 2021. And we need to, as the city manager said, is be ready for if we're short for the remaining 9 months. So again, take a very proactive, cautious approach and making sure that we don't set ourselves up for failure. So the COVID-related pressures are estimated in that last bullet, as you see, between $63 and $73 million. We know we're going to get the Safe Start funding program that gets us to the end of March. Therefore, and this last bullet's important, we have a potential gap. This is the big challenge of $47 to $55 million. If we did nothing and the money didn't show up, we'd be short that amount. So next slide, please, nine. So thank goodness we've been proactive. You recall that the treasurer brought to you a financial mitigation strategy that we worked on. We've already booked $24 million in deferrals of capital projects. They're not cut. I know some of you were wondering if those were cuts. Those were deferrals. And so what we need is we're short $23 to $30 million to get us to that bottom line. So on the bottom of slide nine, you know the levers that you have. The first bullet is you can cut service. You know, that's, we've said it there on the first bullet, is you can reduce it. You can increase fares more than the 2.5, or you can increase taxes even more. And I don't know for sure, but I'm going to speculate. I don't think those are things that are palatable for anyone right now, and certainly wouldn't be palatable for our customers in terms of, you know, affecting them. So next slide. So we wanted to have a few scenarios ready. And this speaks to, I know at the media scrum, some of the reporters were saying, are you just waiting for the bailouts? We're not. We're being proactive and we're being financially prudent and we're taking care of those that need us the most so we don't strand them anywhere. That $47 to $55 million is the gap. And the best case scenario is we just wait and it happens and there's no issue. The backstop to that is Plan B, which is what we're recommending and it's been built into this budget. Plan B is you've got the $24 million that you've already dealt with, the deferrals, and then we would bring to you, and we have, I'm going to give you a sense of the list because I don't want anybody to leave not knowing. I know we got into specifics at our future date, but we need $30 million more. So like your house budget, we looked into the capital and we said, what could we do that doesn't affect our customers negatively and we know doesn't go against council's priorities, whether it's in your business plan, whether it's in the things that we've heard loud and clear in the OC transfer plan. And back to that theme, don't impact those that depend on this service the most right now and don't hamper the recovery efforts and the city in terms of where we need to get to. So the $30 million is a very, very short list. And the great news is it doesn't affect our customers. The first tranche is about $13 million. That comes from our fare gates and our fare bending program for stage two. And the way that's come out is we just finalized the contract negotiations. We know how the milestone payments work out on that. We will adjust those because it's based on the firm pricing we now have from our supplier. And some costs came in a lot lower than we thought. So $13 million, we still get every single feature, open payment, fare gates, fare vending equipment, everything that you see on line one and more, because it's even the enhanced model as we did during our press release. So that gets you $13 million. We will adjust our bus refurbishment program. It's a massive program, $20 million. We will reduce that by $4 million. That doesn't impact life cycle on the buses. It's just some resequencing we can do. And again, some of the usage is down a little bit, so we'll take advantage of that. We'll look at, there's some miscellaneous accounts for minor repairs and adjustments to our facilities and garages. Nothing that's life cycle dependent. We can wait for them. Again, no different than your house budget. That's about $1.6 million. Our stage two transition cost. We know a lot about what we need to do based on stage one. We had a healthy budget of over $6 million there. We will shave that down by $1.5 million. There's no direct impact to customers or safety. That's less consultants and just working a little bit differently. Operations management systems, some life cycle on our back offices, $1 million, and some renewal of miscellaneous computer systems, radios, the actual physical assets, another $4.5 million. So that's basically the list. That generates about $30 million, which plugs that last piece and keeps your budget whole. Plan C, next slide, please, is the service cuts. And as you heard the city manager, I don't know if he said it this morning, I know during the media scrum, he talked about being ready that if in the eventuality things get worse or we need to have another plan, we will look at service cuts, but they're not built into this budget and we're not recommending them. And, you know, the word stranded, I'm going to say it over and over again. The U.S., there's a great report that we read that looked at major metropolitan cities, Chicago, Denver, Boston, that are saying, you know, if we look at service cuts, because they're in a financial situation no different than ours, who would that affect and what would that look like? And the categories are people without access to a private vehicle, those with low income, visible minorities, and those that need to get to critical jobs. Massive impacts to those communities. And so on top of all that, once you do the cuts, these would not be instant savings. You would need to wait till the end of next year. The plan would be we would table them for you in June. You'll see the cuts. And again, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is not 5-minute reductions. This is not cutting a suburban route. This is wait times getting to 30, 40, 45 minutes. But they'll be ready for you if that's the route that you want to see in the future. We would need to bridge finance them till the end of this year into the new year. And you need to lay off people and get rid of the buses. Then if ridership bounces back, and that's why this is not a recommended approach at this time. If ridership comes back, and it will it come back to the same extent? Nobody knows. To reconstitute those routes, the vehicles, the staff, the logistics is a massive, timely undertaking. So we're just doing our due diligence because I've heard a lot of requests about why aren't we cutting? We're not cutting because of social distancing. We're doing what Dr. Etches has asked you for. We're not cutting because we didn't want to do the short-term moves that other jurisdictions have done. And you can scan the media today. There's overcrowding in some jurisdictions because they laid people off and they have to bring them back in and they've got overcrowded buses and people are complaining. And they're telling their customers, get off the bus and wait for the next route. We're not doing that. We're also taking the long view. The equity inclusion lens that we talk so much about, taking care of those that need it now, will need it in the short term, will need it in the medium term, and will need it as part of our economic recovery, plays a vital role in terms of what we're doing. But having said that, we have to do the financially prudent and the difficult things that we're paid to do, which is what the city manager has said. Be ready if we need to do service cuts, and if that's where council wants to go, we will have a plan ready in June of this year, coming up for you to see. That is not our recommended approach as part of this budget. Thank you, Chair. That concludes the presentation.
Thank you very much, Mr. McConey. And now we'll turn to questions. Does anybody have any questions of Mr. McConey? Just a reminder that they should be high level and technical nature. Go ahead, Councillor Cavanaugh.
Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Cavanaugh?
Yeah, thank you. My question is, with this budget show that the transit is considered an essential service. Is this what this budget is demonstrating?
There's the legal definition of it, and we need to be careful with that because there's labor law for that. But Councillor, I would say absolutely yes. The thing that worldwide transit has demonstrated is it is critical to the lifeblood of cities and to the well-being of everyone and as part of the recovery.
Okay, thank you. I would expect that response since when I see the direction you've taken. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kavanaugh. Next up is go ahead, Councillor Brockington.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Manconi, can you just confirm that the 2021 budget estimates a 100% ridership level pre-COVID? Is that what I heard?
It's it says keep your ridership intact and backstop the delta that we believe is going to come with the capital reduction, both the deferred projects and that reduced small capital list that I itemized.
But just so I'm clear, the fare revenue that will be in the 2021 budget is basically the same number pre-COVID. You are not
correct
identifying within the budget a fare revenue number that is based on COVID demand.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
That's it, Councillor. Okay. Next up is Commissioner Sarah Reichover.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to let you know your audio is being funky again. So just thought I'd let you know that. Just really quickly, Mr. Manconi, following up on my colleague's question about the ridership and associated revenue for 2021 being reflected in the budget as the same as 2020. Was there any consideration given to reflecting our current reality of ridership, or perhaps an even better one of, say, 40% ridership or 50% ridership when doing the numbers for this budget?
Yes, Commissioner, that's the $50 to $60 million delta range. So we're keeping, as Councillor Brockington has said, we're assuming the revenue to stay whole, and that gets plugged by the mitigation measures. But we are assuming that ridership will not be at 100% of where it was pre-COVID. So you start with that, you identify there's going to be a gap, and how do you close that gap? So in essence, we're both saying the same thing. Ridership will be lower in 2021. We've kept the ridership revenue whole. We've segregated the COVID costs. And we've said, after all that, what's your potential delta on ridership revenue drop? It's the 50 to 60%. And then you roll it up and mitigate from there.
Okay, thank you. I look forward to looking over the budget in detail. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, and next is Councillor Caroline Meehan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Mr. Manconi, has OC Transport taken into it, looked at routes that have basically very, very few people on them? Because I know that out here in Barrhaven, we're watching buses rattle through neighborhoods with no one on them. And our park and rides are basically empty. Are you saying there's really no real way to consider cutting some of those routes, or at least eliminating some of the runs in making this budget?
Councillor, great question. There is, and here's the challenge. That employee that needs to get to their job downtown from your ward, if I cut that trip, it's a 15-minute cycle, they're going to go to 30 minutes. What already is happening, particularly in the States, is exactly that. They're going 30 minutes for a ride. I'm going to take an Uber. And it's eroding their earnings. And it's actually pulling them away from transit. The short term, if you want to go there, you go there. What we're really concerned is about, once you lose those riders, will they come back? Particularly those that make big decisions, go, you know, they're going to move, they're going to buy a car, all that stuff. We think the ridership will come back. We want to keep them. The challenge right now, when I hear someone say, cut a route, what frequency are you comfortable going to? And doing it on a piecemeal basis is a very difficult task, because we will all get flooded with complaints, because it will always impact someone. And I've seen the empty buses. I've also seen the half full buses. I've seen some complaints. You know, point in time on a route, I agree wholeheartedly with you. There are some instances where you could. The question is it worth the effort to do that right now, or do we continue with what we're doing and move forward with the plan that we've proposed? it's a difficult task to start plucking away certain trips, because then you have to apply the how is it fair, who gets it, what routes, and then when you get the call of that, you know, employee that's trying to get down to their downtown job or wherever, can't get there, then we're back into can you reinstitute that route.
Mm-hmm. I understand that it is challenging. But I'm wondering, at $4 million a week loss, I'm just concerned that we just can't afford to continue doing this. And waiting for the safe recovery money and allowing that to run out and then maybe making some tough choices, is that the prudent thing to do? Like, maybe we should make those tough choices now, and if we get that money, we can reinstate some things.
Okay, Noah, and maybe it didn't come across the right way, but if you this proposal, this budget that's before you, you will make all the decisions, and if the Safe Start program for the remaining 9 months does not come through, the issue is resolved financially because of the deferred capital projects and the $30 million cut list. So you've made those decisions. You will eliminate that capital budget envelope, and you will be made whole for the rest of the year. So you won't be short.
Okay, there was a list of mitigation and efficiencies that you had gone through. We just didn't see a slide in the deck. Is that going to be available someplace for us to actually take a good look at?
Absolutely. We're going to email you a memo with the $30 million list that we literally just finalized the other day.
Okay.
You're going to get that.
That's it for me. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Councillor Meehan. Let's see here. I don't see anybody else. So, Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yes, I do. Merci. That motion is que la Commission du Transport en commun prenne acte de ce point, le dépose et le reporte à sa réunion du 18 novembre 2020. That the Transit Commission receive, table, and refer this item to its meeting of November 18th.
Okay, is that carried?
Carried.
Thank you. Okay, so our next item is revisions to the boundary of urban transit area for 2021. I believe Mr. Scrimger has a presentation for us.
Yes, Pat's just going to do a quick overview of it. I believe it's verbally, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Thanks, Mr. Manconi, Mr. Chair. Yes, a verbal, just a quick explanation of this this report. Every few years, depending on how development has gone, depending on other decisions by council, we bring a report to Transit Commission with recommendation to go through to council to adjust the urban transit area. We have direction from council for many years to, as they called it at the time, automatically, I'm putting my fingers in quotation marks, automatically expand the urban transit area as the urban area grows, but automatically requires a change to the bylaw every time that occurs. And so we have done that every few years for the last probably since the early 1970s. When this structure was put in place. The recommendation this year is to expand the urban transit area so that it is consistent with the urban policy area that is set in the official plan. That will mean that all properties which are considered urban in the official plan would participate in funding the operating costs and the capital costs of the transit service, just as they have the opportunity to use those services. So the map that's included with the report shows in, I believe it's in purple or a darker gray, if you're looking at a black and white copy, the areas that would be expanded. These are areas which are not currently in the urban transit area, but are in the urban policy area. And with this report adopted, the changes would take place for the 1st of January, and that would allow the additional tax revenue of just over $900,000 that Mr. Manconi showed in his list of solutions of how we closed the first $30 million gap. So, Mr. Chair, there's a brief explanation, and we'll be happy to receive big questions now or more questions on the 18th when this report is considered by the Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Scrimger. Is there any questions for Mr. Scrimger on his presentation? No? Okay, seeing none. Mr. Vice Chair, would you like to read your motion, please?
That the Transit Commission receive, table, and refer this item to its meeting of November 18th, 2020.
Is that motion carried?
Carried.
Carried.
Great, thank you. Okay, next up we have other business? No?
Chair.
Okay.
Chair?
Yes.
It's Riley speaking. Can I just ask a quick question?
Sure.
I just want to know if it's possible in advance of our next Transit Commission meeting, if the general manager and treasurer could make themselves available to members of the Transit Commission who may have detailed budget questions. I'm just trying to think, I don't want to clog our next Transit Commission with lots of questions and I only have 5 minutes, but is there any way that through your office or other that we can make staff available to members who may have detailed questions? Is that possible? I did email Mr. Manconi and Madam Stephenson about 2 weeks ago, but I think I'm going to have more than 5 minutes of questions, and I just want to know if that's possible.
Okay. Madam Treasurer, is that a possibility?
Yes, I'm happy to, Councillor. And I would just look to Mr. Manconi to ensure that he too can provide some answers to your questions.
Absolutely.
Good. Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
Okay. So for any members that want to make arrangements, if you want to email the treasurer or John or both to ask your questions, please do so. And we'll take a motion now on adjournment. And so do we have that motion? Mr. Vice Chair?
Sorry, certainly a motion to adjourn the Transit Commission meeting of November 4th.
Carried.
Great. Gary? Okay, thank you. See you all on the 18th of November.